happy 500 episodes. I am really excited to share this bonus with you today where we do an Ask Me Anything, all podcast related, with my amazing podcast manager, Taylor Rockwood. Here we go. Welcome to our 500th episode. I am so excited to be doing this and also really pleased that today we get to bring back someone you've heard from recently. My podcast manager, Taylor Rockwood, is going to be joining us today. Hello, Taylor.
Hello. Thanks for having me back so soon.
I know. This is so great. We didn't hear from you from like 4 years, even though you were working for me during that time. And all of a sudden we get you like twice in just a span of a month here. She was on a How Do You episode about group fitness that I think you should absolutely check out. But Taylor's here as both the podcast manager and also a listener of the podcast. So someone who has that perspective, and she's going to be facilitating this bonus episode where we are going through an Ask Me Anything style sort of episode where we are answering the questions that you submitted all about the podcast. And I think we'll just start by saying one thing is, Taylor pointed this out, is this is actually not our 500th episode. Tell us a little bit about that, Taylor.
Well, I realized in like going through the back catalog that somewhere along the way, possibly before I was hired, there was some misnumbering of the podcast
for episodes. Sure before you were hired.
And so I think technically this might be like 502, but we're close.
Yeah, we're close. So that's kind of a funny behind the scenes right there is sometimes I have duplicated numbers and whatever. We kept going on with whatever the number was. Okay, so I'm going to pass the facilitating mic now over to you, Taylor, and you're going to go through these questions, which you have so helpfully categorized for us. So how about you introduce the first category and we'll dive right in.
All right, so we're going to start off by talking about the podcast past. So if you could just give us a little history on the podcast to start.
Right now, this is our 500th-ish episode. We are approaching our 7 years. The history is very related to just what you heard on this podcast about my own story. So I'm not going to go through that whole story. And I also say, fair warning, my neighbor is getting their dog is getting kennel trained. So that dog will probably be barking the whole time and it's totally okay. They're such good neighbors and they did warn us. So we have to keep recording it. It's okay. So how it started, like a little bit of the history is because I was doing my do something list, which at the time was, I was calling it my 30 before 30 list, 30 things I wanted to do before I turned 30. And it was all in an effort of me leaning into the mediocre and being okay to be bad at things. On the list was start a blog. And as I was writing that terrible blog that nobody read, I got this like weird sense of confidence and more clarity on what I loved to learn about and grow up and how things I wanted to maybe try or I was interested in. And I started listening to other podcasts from women who I didn't know, but pretty soon found out that they were just like regular everyday people like me. Like they didn't go to school for broadcast journalism. They didn't work for a radio. They just started a podcast on their own. And because I was in that zone of trying and it being okay to be bad at something, I just suddenly was like, I'm going to start a podcast. And I just started it pretty soon after. And that will, you know, for many good reasons, I'm glad I started it right away. For some harder reasons, I think I did make a lot of more mistakes in the beginning than I wish I had thought a little bit more deeply through some things, including maybe the name of the podcast, like stuff like that. But in the same vein, it's very much reflective of what I teach here. So I guess I'm glad for the mess and I'm glad for the mistakes. And now it's been almost 7 years and it's evolved a few times. We've switched formats a few times. We've added in, we've switched how we talk to guests. It was more about just their stories. And now it's more like a really refined topic. You know, I've learned a ton of business along the way, never expected this to be a crash course in business, but it has been, and it's been the ride of a life. So there's that history.
I think you're right. The podcast itself is a reflection sort of your self-development journey. And you've kind of let us all as listeners be a part of that. And I will say, I did read the blog. That's how I found you first. Oh. My mom sent it to me. And she was like, this girl married into the Packer family.
That's awesome.
I shared before that my family grew up with your husband's family. So
That's there were so some blog great. Readers. I love your parents so much.
So did you imagine that you would do it for this long and end up with 500 episodes?
No, I remember being in the teens and being so proud of myself.
That's awesome.
You know, like 14 episodes. I'm like, I am basically a professional now. Like I've been doing this a long time. And
I love that.
And now I'm just like, holy cow, I never expected to get in the 100 episode range, let alone hundreds. Now I know maybe a third of those are kind of shorter episodes, but they're all episodes to me. You know, they all had that time and passion and work behind it. So no, I did not expect that. And it's probably been the thing I have been the most consistent about in my life. Besides yes. like some stable, like supportive habits I have on my own. Like this has been the most consistent venture I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Way to just keep showing up. What is an area of growth in the podcast that you're most proud of?
For me, I feel like the quality, like the sound quality has come really far, as well as just the whole production value. And that's something I still do on my own. I still edit the podcast myself, all that music you hear added in, which sometimes I know sounds weird or like off. I'm still keep learning, you know, as I go. But I do think overall that's improved a lot. I think my own interview skills have improved, the way I speak. I definitely, now I'm really watching the way I speak right now, but I don't have as many ums and likes and faltering around as I did in the beginning. I have more confidence in speaking. And I would also say that I feel like I'm getting better and better with time about getting shorter and to the point and refining down what I have to say, using less words, but having greater impact, which has been a real struggle of mine to do.
Good. So lots of ways you've experienced growth. The technical aspect is interesting because that's something people don't probably see. Mm-hmm. I think we have a question later on about that. But okay, what is a cool opportunity that having the podcast has afforded you?
I didn't know how to answer that one at first. And then I thought about, well, you know, in general, it's just being able to interview people that I've read their books, which is really cool. And like some pretty big people that we'll talk about more later. That is probably my favorite opportunity. The other one is just meeting a ton of people, both in the podcast and outside of the podcast in the community. I love the community sense, like having the opportunity of being able to have women friends online, like as our listeners, and the community we've created together has been just something I never imagined either from the beginning. But I will say there is something coming up that I don't know when I can really share about it more, but I will say I was recently interviewed for a documentary that's going to be coming out in August or September.
Oh, very exciting.
So that one, and it's for some big name people that I'm really excited to share about when I get there. And they were guests on the show, I'll say that. And they wrote a book, and this is, you're going to be able to read between the lines, but they asked me to be as part of this documentary that they're doing based on their research and what they wrote. So,
okay. Kate, you guys, I don't even know what she's talking about. Like,
yeah,
I didn't even know about this is what I mean. So yeah. That's really exciting.
Yeah. I'm, they filmed it in my office here, and I might be featured for 10 seconds of the documentary. So I don't even know. We'll find out.
Still cool. So cool. No, I think that's a perfect answer to that question. Okay. We're going to move on to kind of talking about guests and episodes. I think this question has come up before when you've done Q&As, and it came up several times here. What has been your favorite episode?
Yeah, it's always hard to answer because it's ever changing. It's usually like the last one I did, like the one that aired this week with Dan Davis from Sturry was personally very special. Like that was one of those episodes where I left and went downstairs from the interview and told Brad, like, that was an amazing interview. And so it's things like that. They change all the time. I would say of all time, my favorite episodes have there's more like personal favorites in terms of what they meant to me. There's also achievement kind of episodes, in terms of like what guests I got that I had been wanting for a long time. And we're actually going to kind of talk about those as we go, but I'll just say it's ever changing and, it's ever ongoing.
I think that's fair because I would kind of hate for you to be like, oh, my favorite episode was like 104. And like, here we are 400 episodes later. Like,
yeah.
No, you want to have a changing favorite. I think that's great.
I have like at least a favorite every month where I'm like, that was my favorite recently. But then they keep changing. So I can't even tell you, oh, this one besides the one we just aired this week. So
I think that makes sense. What episode would you say has changed you the most?
So this is where I can get more specific. I think the episodes where I've interviewed people who have dealt with huge obstacles, sadly, some of them have passed away, like Kim White from Kim Can Kick It and Christopher Clark, who died from ALS. And my interview with him, that was shortly before he lost the ability to speak. So that personally changed so much for me to hear about their life experiences and to like, just know I want to be like them. I want to go through the hard in my life with my health held high and also feeling the hard too. That was something they both did so uniquely. In terms of like what professionally changed so much for me, I would say there are like Greg McEwen, Eve Rotsky, the Nagoski sisters, anyone who I've interviewed who has done a lot of research in this field and shared about it. It changed a lot for like the work that I do, because I've been able to pull concepts from what they've taught and also the research to back it up that have helped me just change the way I think about personal development and how I teach about it too.
Perfect. I love that. So I'm just, it makes sense to ask this right now if you have a favorite guest.
Yeah. My favorite guest is Jennifer Finlayson Fife. I mean, she's been on the show maybe 8 or 9 times, maybe more.
In various ways, like with other people, by herself.
And if you were to ask me what my favorite episodes are, a big chunk of them are her episodes, and they are the things that have changed me so much. So I will say like her self-expansion episode that we did in January of 2023 this year, I think is my favorite of all time episode. But that again may change because of what it meant for me personally, what I learned from her. We had more of like this personal side to it. We had her talk about her mother and her like ballroom dancing as like an almost 90-year-old, like stuff like that. But she's just an incredible guest. She's so smart. I write a million notes. I'm trying to just keep up with her vocabulary and everything she's taught me both professionally and personally changed my life. So she's a great guest.
I second all of that. I'm just part of my process for my work with the podcast. I take notes as I listen. And usually I take 3/4 to 1-page notes. And for her episodes, it's easily like 3 pages of notes because I kind of take my own personal notes too. So I second all that. What is your favorite part about interviews?
My favorite part is seeing a real person behind things. Like it's been so nice to see that people are people, and that means for good and for bad. Like sometimes I've had like some guests I was really excited about and they have just been like a little not awesome. When I interviewed, I'm like, oh, you're kind of snooty. And like suddenly they turn it on when I press record and you're like, wow, you're a different person. You're really happy. And the reverse is honestly mostly been true, where it's like this really big person and they're so humble, so down to earth. So genuine and like someone you could be really friends with, but you also see like, oh, they forgot the interview and we had to reschedule a couple times, or, oh, they were late and that's all right. Or, oh, they were nervous about something going on with their kid, or, oh, they told me they're having a really hard time with something. So just seeing the humanness from it has been really, really fun for me to be able to see that in the interviews, is just the person behind things.
I love that. Seeing their humanness. Mm-hmm. Which guest were you most nervous to interview? And or most excited? My daughter calls it being nervous-sided. She always says that about things. So maybe it's one and the same. I don't know. Maybe it's two.
I think those do blend in for sure. I would say in the beginning, I felt a lot more nervous going into interviews. And like that first one I did with Jennifer that went viral, my only viral episode, which is ironic because I think it's episode number 13. I don't think I had misnumbered the episodes at that point. But I remember having to do like, you know, the Superman pose before. I had post-it notes all around the computer that reminded me to slow down, to listen, you know, like things like that. Like I was so nervous to have her on. In most recent memory, someone I was really nervous to interview was Eve Rotsky. And I'll tell you why though. I was nervous because I had recently seen she was taken on Reese Witherspoon's network, into things. And I thought, if I do a good job for Eve Rotsky, Reese Witherspoon will listen to this episode and want me in her network.
Maybe. Maybe.
So I like hyped myself up so much. And as a result, I stumbled through that interview and I edited it so well that I think you can't tell. But I was just like, I left that interview being like a head bang on the desk, like, oh, I just totally psyched myself too much. And most excited was Greg McKeown, because he is a guest mm-hmm. that I had pitched for years and years, as well as Emily Nagoski, like, please be on my show. And I just asked and asked and asked and asked. Once I got Evrotsky on, though, like, it opened the doors for Greg, the Nagoski sisters, and more to come. Like, now when I see a bestseller one, like Catherine Price come up, New York Times bestseller for that, or Marissa Franco for her Platonic book, like, I can now email people or DM them and be like, I've interviewed Evrotsky, Greg McKeown, the Nagoski sisters, and they open doors like crazy. So that's been really fun.
That's like a little like behind the scenes about kind of how that works as far as securing interviews. You have to get like the one and how that opens doors for others. That's interesting. And as you're naming those names, I'm like, yep, love that one. Love that one. Yep, love that one.
Those are all exciting. And they were nervous-sided.
Nervous-sided. Yeah. I don't know. It's a combination. So is there someone you would like to interview that maybe you've tried but haven't been able to quite get that contact with?
Okay, that person is Priya Parker, and she wrote the book, The Art of Gathering. I read it years ago, and I have literally asked her to be on the show for years, a couple times a year. And last year I got really close. Like, I got through to the next round, and then they were like, oh, never mind. She's writing another book for a while, so we'll be back to you. Oh. And then when I came back, they're like, yes, here's the place you need to go. And it's the same application that I have filled out, like, 5 times. So I felt like I got put back on the bottom of the list. So she's awesome. Just so people know, like, I interview a lot of authors, but it's not because like I just want people on here to promote their books. I love learning from them, period. And we are there to learn, not to promote mm-hmm. their books, but we often end up sharing about the book. But
sure.
It's always part of it. So Priya Parker, that's
okay. We're putting that out.
That's my white whale
podcast
right now.
Verse.
Yeah.
Is there, this is like a separate question because this
is
maybe someone that might never happen or might, mm-hmm. who would be a dream guest?
I wrote down like the hugest names, like Oprah or Brené
Brown. Yes, I knew it was going to be Oprah. I knew it.
I think I would probably cry for days out of fear in advance of either of those interviews. I will say though, like, hey, I just had the thought, like, what about Meghan Markle? Like, I know people have lots of opinions about Meghan Markle.
Sure.
But I have mm-hmm. to say, I think that's someone who has worked a lot on their identity and having boundaries and all that kind of stuff. That would be really fascinating to get her perspective.
Oh, yes. On.
So there's that.
Cool. There's our dream guests out into the world. I love yep. it. All right. We're going to move into talking about like the future of the podcast. What is your goal for this year with the podcast?
You know this goal because you are helping me with it. It's twofold. We want to grow mm-hmm. the podcast, like the people who are coming here to listen. And as part of that goal, I'm trying to get on a lot of other podcasts. That's just a strategy. There was actually a couple of years that I said no to guesting on any podcast because I just felt like I was too busy, but then I was too busy, but then I learned that's the number one way to grow. And it's actually been really helpful, not in that growth part, but it's actually been helpful in helping me learn how to speak better and to distill the ideas I have better to get more to the point that I talked about earlier too. So it's been more of a refining thing for me. It's helped me show up better on the podcast too, like being a podcast guest. So that's kind of twofold there, but it all goes back to, we want to really grow the show. If people don't know, podcasting has become like a super saturated field. And me, alongside all of my podcasting friends, I would say have been in a plateau with our numbers for years. And when you've been growing for years and then suddenly you're at a plateau, it can mess with your head, especially if those numbers kind of drop and then plateau again. And you're just like, what am I doing wrong? And it's like, it's just a saturated field. You have to keep pivoting, evolving, all that. But I'm just really focused on growth. And that's mostly so that I can continue with the ad network I'm in and increase the payment I'm getting there. So I just don't cover my costs. I can also help cover swim lessons or our weekly Costco visits that are now taking over our lives.
Yeah. I think the financial part of it is something people like tiptoe around, and maybe even you feel like you tiptoe around, but so I will just speak for myself as a listener. And what I've always told you and encouraged you is that The podcast is free content, free, valuable content where you teach people and you get these big names like right in our little earbuds for free. And I do not mind listening to an ad or two or four. I really don't. Just like I listen to the radio and I watch TV. That's just kind of the way it goes. So I always hope people understand that and can be cool with it and know that like it just, it's kind of all part of it. And I'm excited for you to grow as well and get on some fun shows. That's what we're working on.
Yeah, that means a lot to me. And honestly, that's probably one behind the scenes thing we should say is like Taylor gets to see me at my most insecure and vulnerable and self-doubting and like being like, does this work or what's wrong with that or that happened? And or do you think they'll be bothered if I do this? And she has such a good, strategic, but also like very in the know mind about the industry that she's set me straight and helped me in ways that I can't even explain. So thanks for that.
Oh, that's nice of you. I think we have a good back and forth a lot of the time. That's
me too.
Do you have any plans for in-person events in the future?
I was talking to Brad about this a few years ago because we were kind of, Brad and I were chatting like our courses kind of going the way that workshops were. Because for a while, workshops were the thing and I hosted like three or four of them until I actually didn't not only not make money, I lost money. Like hosting those, they're very expensive to run workshops and they're also extremely time intensive, like way more than you'd ever think. So workshops rather kind of fizzled out. Like people just like, you couldn't get people to sign up. And that was kind of across the board in the industry with my friends. And now courses kind of seem to me be going the same way. Not sure. But the reason I brought that up is because I don't have plans to teach one specifically. Like a workshop style or a retreat or anything like that. I just don't have that in me time-wise. It's not even about the money to me. It would be more about like serving maybe people who've been in my membership group or like something like that. Like it wouldn't even be advertised kind of thing. But I do want to do like a really casual potluck. And Brad brought this up and I think I talked to you about it too. Like, or maybe you brought it up. Like we just like rent a pavilion and at a park and people just come potluck style. That was Brad's idea. So I'm not misremembering that in the words of a baseball star from years ago. Anyway, so I just want people to come with food and just chat. So I do want to do that sometime this late summer. And I'll let people know about that on Instagram and the newsletter, just like a come together and eat and talk. And there's not going to be any cost or anything like that.
Yeah, just sort of like a way to get a like-minded community together. I'm sure people would be excited about that. That's a good idea. All right, we are going to move into talking about personal development, kind of what your whole platform and podcast is based on, but asking a little bit about your own personal development. Mm-hmm. So someone asked, they said, you talk a lot about habits. Are habits really necessary for personal progress?
My short answer is absolutely. My long answer is not in the way people might think. It's not like the like toxic positivity way, like you have to have your life all perfectly together to grow. But I will say part of why I got into habit formation is because I hit a plateau with my personal development. Like I couldn't grow the ways I wanted to more inside without having the outside everyday part of my life support that internal development. So like having better sleep, having like more of an internal strength, like spiritually with meditation or study, spiritual study or journaling, having time by myself to exercise as an introvert, like that habit has helped me being able to have the energy I needed to grow. So yes, it is, but not in the way you think. You can do it in different ways. Yeah.
And of course, I'll just do the plug for you. You can find out more at the Sticky Habit Method.
Thanks, Taylor.
As always. Yeah. All right. What is the best thing you've learned?
One of the best things I have learned has been, I would say if I'm going to think like big picture with the podcast, like if I'm going to say more of the behind the scenes stuff, is that like I mess up all the time. All the time. Whether it's like stuttering when I'm doing an interview or me feeling like I totally messed one up, or I keep getting a no, or I get ghosted from people who say they're going to be on the show, or someone comes on and it's a terrible interview, or I host a workshop and I lose money. Like failure has not only been part of the process, it's been vital to it. And learning how to welcome that in has been huge for me as someone who either worked really hard to avoid it or did nothing to avoid failure. Welcoming it as part of my own development and the work that I do and the things I'm passionate has helped me do it better, longer. And same thing goes with parenting and my relationships there. Same goes with my own habits or like things I want to do. Like I'm building garden boxes right now. Made the mistake of thinking 16 garden boxes was a good way to learn how to build garden boxes. And I've only built two so far as I'm speaking to you. But even as I was building those garden boxes, like I've made a few mistakes and like old me would have been like, this was a mistake. Like I shouldn't have done this. This was done. Like I would have beat myself up. And instead I'm just like, okay, so I'm going to do it this way, the next box, or I'm going to do it this way, a different, like I just keep tweaking and pivoting. So that's been the best thing I've learned is just failure has to be part of the process. And it's a good thing as much as it's not a fun thing. It's still not fun. I would say that's it.
Oh, that's such a good way to say that. You know, part of my job is like pulling quotes usually from the guest episodes, but that would be totally like a quote I would pull, like what you just said, like failure has to be part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a good job of like showing us listeners, your community, like the messy side of things. And I hope people feel the way I do, which is like, okay, if she can do that publicly and be okay, like I can do that in my own life and be okay.
You know, that's funny you say that. Cause that was actually, there's so much I knew I wouldn't be able to control this year about my personal life and business having a baby. And that has been true even more than I thought, but so one of the things I did know I could control moving into this year was how I wanted to show up in a way to the community that was better because I'd kind of just gotten busy and forgotten to do this more of sharing the mess, sharing the in-between, sharing the failure. So I've been trying this year to be much better about modeling the process, modeling how it looks to try things and it not work out well. And just being able to track that better and model it has been great for me.
I think I used to get after you saying you need to show the behind the scenes.
Yes.
And you know what? You're right. You have done that. You have done that. And it's been really fun to watch.
I love your pushes. Yeah, that helps.
So speaking of listeners, what is something you wish listeners could understand better about podcasting?
One, I would say it takes a lot of work. It really does. And it takes a lot of passion. I couldn't do this without Taylor. Like truly, I would not have a good podcast if I was trying to do all these pieces by myself. And we should probably like have you share what you do in a moment too. The other thing I would say is that it is also a strange medium because you don't get to see how the work lands, at least in real time. And even then, not often, like every now and then I might get an email or a DM or a review that shares how an episode impacted them. But 99% of the time, you have no idea. You only have numbers. And the numbers aren't even revealing either. Because sometimes like the episode you think is going to change lives the most doesn't even get the average number of listens. So you can't stake it on that. You can't measure the impact. So I would say the thing I do want them to understand is I grow the best through them sharing about the show. Like if they want to help the show, I'd love to hear from them. That's awesome. They can do that. But the next best thing or probably the best thing they can do is share about it with someone they love. That's it. That's the most important thing about podcasting. It's organic shares from your community.
Great. Everybody hear that? If you like it, share it, send it to someone. I've done that. You mentioned, Dr. Franco, I was talking to someone at the gym about like friendships and loneliness. And I was like, I have a podcast I'm going to send you.
That's awesome.
And it was her episode. Like, and they were in response. They were like, oh, I've actually been trying to find podcasts about this. So
wow.
It's just like a fun way to share, honestly, with friends or even acquaintances or whatever it is.
Yes, that's great. Thank you for doing that.
Oh yeah. So speaking of reviews or comments or emails, how do you deal with or respond to, I want to know about positive reviews and comments, but also negative reviews and comments?
So starting with the positive, I feel like just like anything else, if you get like five people telling you good job and one person telling you bad job, you like seem to hyper focus on the bad. So I try to make sure whenever someone sends me that like rare, like this episode really helped me or thanks for the work you do, I really do try to not glance over it and just be like, da da da. Like I try to actually take it in. At the same time, I try not to like just let that be the bolster to my work, like that I have to have those comments or that I get prideful about it. So it's kind of like a healthy level of like soaking it in, but also being detached from it enough to like recognize the flaws that I need to work on or to not have to have that constant input of good to keep going. For the negative comments, I will say like, that's one thing I feel like I've grown with over time. There have been times in the past where I've based full episodes off of one negative review. And I'm like, I don't think I would do that anymore. Like, even if it had like a lot of personal impact, like it made me really sad. Like, it's hard to not take it so personally, but that's something I'm getting better at. It just being able to recognize like when there's truth to it that I need to like recognize and say, yeah, that's truth. And I need to work on that. And, or when it's just like an unhappy person, you know, which most of the time it is, it's just someone who's not happy or the jealous in some way, which mm-hmm. I'm jealous of people too. And that's where criticism comes in for me is when I'm jealous. So unhelpful criticism, you know?
So it's kind of the same, like you don't put your worth in the good comments. You don't put your worth in the bad comments, or you yeah. try not to.
It's a healthy level of detachment, but also still soaking in even the negative one to be like, what is true about this? Like, what sure. do I need to do a better job of making sure I'm sharing, or even down to like, hey, they didn't like that. I used to do announcements at the beginning. They didn't like how long those announcements would go. And I was like, that's fair. Okay. Let's work on that.
That's funny. Okay. And then I decided I wanted to make sure that I asked you the question that you ask your guests
yeah.
about like one small thing. So I phrased it as, what is one small thing listeners can do to start towards their dreams? Now, I don't know if you knew podcasting was your dream
yeah.
or if it has kind of ended up that way, but what is one small thing they can do to start?
Mm-hmm. I would suggest that you do what I did with the podcast, and it's a couple things. One is to announce it. So you're like, this is happening and it's happening now or this date. And so like, you're kind of beholden to it in some ways. That really helped me. Like I announced the podcast and dropped the first episode and said the next episode will be next week. And because I knew people were waiting for that, I did it the
yeah,
next
accountability.
Week and then the week after. So there's that. And the second thing I would do is, if you want to move towards a dream, is to know why. Like, what is it really about? Is it about hitting a certain, like my dream is not to be like, I must hit this number, although that's a goal. My dream is deeper. It's about impact. And so I think that's what your dream needs to be about. How will it impact others? How will it impact you? How will it impact your family? Like, what's the deeper why behind it? Because knowing that is what will help you be consistent in doing it, especially when it's not necessarily about you. And I'll say like the flip side to this is I've had a dream to write a book and I do feel like I'm getting pushed in that. I announced it. Have I started writing? No, because
okay.
I am spinning in my own inadequacy, my own self-doubt about it, as well as like thinking I don't have time. Which I kind of don't, but it really is like my doubts are making me think like 5 minutes won't matter of work here and there, which is a lot of how I did the podcast for like 5 years, was like increments of 5 to 20 minutes of work whenever I could. So when you have that deeper why behind it, I think it helps you move through that self-doubt period and allow yourself to make mistakes. I've just got to practice what I preach better in a different medium now. So in some ways, do what I preach. In other ways, don't. Like it's like do what I say to do, but I haven't done with one of my dreams too. I get it. I really get it if you're struggling with that.
Thanks for being, you're always very like real about how it's going, about the process, about how other people should be. Like, I appreciate that. I think it's easy to connect with you. So
thanks,
the answer
Taylor.
Was for people to have some accountability
mm-hmm.
and to find their why. And I'll say too, like those small steps add up, kind of like you
yeah.
said, 5 minutes
start small
here or there. So you heard it here again, everyone. We look forward to Monica's book.
Yeah, I think I just need to write a really crappy book and then start working on it from there, or just like get in the practice of writing is what it really needs to be. I did mention that you were going to share more about your job. And this is actually a question I did get, not officially through the Ask Me Anything, but someone said like, I'd like to know more about Taylor's job and how she got it. Oh. So let's just spend a few minutes sharing, what do you do in the podcast? And like, what would you recommend someone do if they want a job like yours?
And okay. Then
we'll wrap up.
Maybe I'll answer that on the flip side and I'll share how I got the job.
Yeah. If that's okay. Is a fun story. Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Monica posted on her Instagram, which was like, your Instagram was pretty small at the time, maybe a couple thousand.
Yeah.
And my daughter, I have a son and a daughter. My daughter was like 1 year old and I am a stay-at-home mom. And she posted that she needed like help, like an assistant or a marketing manager, whatever you called it. And I mean, I just like drop everything, like kids, you're fine. Like, I don't even know where they are, what they're doing. I got to write this email. So I just wrote you an email. And then you sent back kind of an application where we had to like listen to a podcast and make graphics and like write copy, which is what the job is to this day. So I did that. And you were pretty like on top of it as far as the process. And then you reviewed that. And I think we had like a phone interview. And then you called me back and you were like, I'm so sorry, I'm going with someone else. And I was so crushed. And in that moment, I was like, well, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm just going to sell myself, because you had said this other person had like a particular skill that I didn't necessarily have. And I was just like, I can learn that. and I just sort of went all in and advocated for myself, probably made you feel really uncomfortable because you were like, okay, let me call you back. I think you like talked to Brad about it or whatever it was. And you ended up calling me back and said, let's do it. Let's see how it goes. And I think the amazing thing about working with you is we have always been very flexible and very understanding of each other. Like, we just communicate often, ask lots of questions. I don't think we've ever been like mad at each other. We just are really forgiving and like work through things. And I don't know how anyone else can find such an ideal situation, because I have it. I have the most ideal situation.
Don't go anywhere.
Know? No.
I have to add a little bit to that. Like, the reason why I wasn't going to go with you was because Brad and I had talked and he thought the family connection was the main reason why I was going with you. And because the other girl had more professional experience.
Yes.
So that's why I'm like, this is the better candidate resume wise, but I have like this gut, like I want to work with Taylor. And Brad was like, I'm just worried. Like, he didn't tell me not to. He was like, I'm just worried. Like, you're worried about hurting your parents' feelings or something. And I was like, that's valid. And then like, I get talked myself out of it. And then as soon as I was talking to you and you were like, I can learn this, like, tell me more. What does she know that I don't? And like, tell me, but it wasn't like I'm offended and I'm upset. Like, you were very fair. And I was like, the more I talked to him, like, yeah, I'm just going to go with my gut. Like, I just want to work with her. So it's been such a good
match. I feel so lucky.
And Brad so relieved. Like, once I was like flipped over, and he has said this for years, he's like, that was absolutely the right call.
Oh, good. good. So then as far as like, I'll do whatever you need help with. As far as like assistant type stuff, I'm in your email inbox a little bit, you know, trying to get you onto shows, helping any guests that are going to be on your show. The bulk of what I do is getting the episodes up each week. We have 2 episodes up each week. So I, you know, listen and take notes and do the transcript and make the graphics and make copy and get it on the blog and get it on the platform that distributes it to all of the podcast platforms. Mm-hmm. There are a lot. Kind of help if there's any like last minute. I don't do technical stuff. Like, I don't do any of the editing stuff, but technical as far as the distribution platform, I guess I help with that.
Podcast applications. You're my first mentor for that.
Yeah. People who apply. I've helped with you know, different stuff for your courses,
my workshops, you guys.
Yeah, email marketing. I love email marketing and have learned a lot about that and am passionate about that in a weird way.
We have to say Taylor's gotten our open rate from like the 20s percentile to like the high 40s to if not higher, which is a very big open rate for an email list, just so people know. That's Taylor and her amazing marketing skills there. She writes really good subject lines and she actually does the newsletter too. She does a great job.
Yeah, I enjoy that. So I would say I wear a lot of hats and just
you do.
Help with whatever you need, keep things moving forward. Your goals are my goals, you know, for the podcast. I'm super happy in my role here.
I'm glad to hear it. Well, that was fun. We got a little behind the scenes. We got a big overview. I chatted a lot, even though I told you right before, I'm going to make sure I don't talk too much. And that didn't turn out to be the case. But I will say, just like as a personal thank you to you, Taylor, for making this possible, for being here. I'm so glad you're happy with your job. And don't ever leave. And also to all the listeners, like, thank you so much for making this possible. Like, being accountable to the listeners is a big part of why I keep showing up here. It's that consistency piece, because I know I want people to have what I'm getting from the podcast in their lives too. I just feel like I'm learning alongside them. So thank you for 500 episodes. And this fall is 7 years. So we're going to do a big giveaway for that. But right now in June, we're doing just a really simple giveaway. And it's just any reviews, new reviews left on Apple Podcasts / iTunes this year. I'm doing a Fawn Design bag. So it's just a really simple giveaway. And if you enter a review now, you'll also be entered in the fall giveaway too. So you get like double entries there. So if you want to say thank you for 500 episodes, that's what I will lovingly ask you to do. Go leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Taylor, any parting words for the people who are here today and who have been with us for either 10 episodes or 500?
Just same thing. Thank you. Thanks for I see the emails that come through to Monica. I see little snippets here of the progress you make, like when you do the habit course or finding me or whatever it is. And I get just as excited about every member of this community's personal growth. Like, I'm your cheerleader too, to all the listeners, as well as Monica. I'm grateful to be along for the ride.
Yay. Well, ditto there. Thanks for being here. And now go and do something with whatever you learned today, whatever that may be.